want to tell a quick story. In the Hebride Islands, which is off the coast of Scotland, there were two ladies, a lady named Peggy and a lady named Christine. And Peggy was in her 80s, and she was blind, and from my understanding had full body arthritis. And Christine was in her 80s as well, and not doing very well health-wise. But they were really burdened for their islands. And they met every single week, just the two of them, and they prayed that God would send revival to the churches there, because the churches there, they said, were pretty much all older folks. There were not any teenagers or any kids, young families in the churches. It was pretty much all older folks, and seemed like people weren't getting saved, and man, they were just really discouraged. So every single week, they met and prayed, and one week, the story didn't say exactly when this was, but one week God really put on their heart to have a preacher named Duncan Campbell come and preach some special meetings there on their islands. And so they talked, and they're like, hey, let's talk to Pastor about having this person come. So sure enough, they went and talked to Pastor, and Pastor said, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Duncan Campbell, because my wife just recently said the same thing. Come on in, let's talk about it. So sure enough, they sat down and they planned a meeting where Duncan Campbell would come, and they would invite the area to the special meeting. And from my understanding, they made flyers, they got different things to get the word out, and they called Duncan Campbell, and they're like, hey, we'd like you to come to our islands, do this special meeting. And Duncan Campbell had a meeting scheduled at that time. And from my understanding, it was kind of like one of those meetings to where if you preach at this meeting, then you've arrived. I mean, you're like, it's like one of the big preachers' meetings. And so, like, if you preach at that meeting, it's like you're like a big-name preacher. So he was kind of excited to preach at that meeting. And he said, hey, I've got a meeting of great importance. I can't make it. But those ladies prayed, and they just prayed in faith, and they went ahead. They made the flyers. So they went ahead and started inviting people to the meeting, even though Duncan Campbell couldn't come. And not too long after they contacted Duncan Campbell, he got a letter from his granddaughter. His granddaughter's name was Mackie. And the letter said something like this. It said, Grandpa, why don't people respond to your messages anymore like they used to? Seems like God isn't working anymore when you preach, was essentially what she was saying. Can you imagine that? Duncan Campbell's heart was broken. He got down on his knees. He said, God, I'll do anything. God, I'll go anywhere. Please give me your power again. And that meeting popped in his brain. And he didn't contact them to schedule it. He wasn't sure exactly what to do. Those people in the Hebride Islands just went ahead, went forward with the meeting. And it was, from my understanding, like the day of the meeting. And Duncan Campbell was up next to preach at that meeting of great importance, that preacher's meeting. And man, the Holy Spirit was convicting him. And he told the person in charge of the meeting, he said, hey, listen, I can't preach. I've got to go. God is really convicting me. I've got to go preach this meeting off the Hebride Islands. And so sure enough, he left. And the story said he got there just in time to have tea before the first service. And as you can probably guess, God really worked. People got saved. There are books written about this revival with Duncan Campbell and just how God worked. And why did that happen? Well, you could probably point out a lot of different things. I mean, God was in it. God worked. But it all started when two ladies who were in their 80s, one was blind, had full body arthritis, the other one was not doing well health-wise, but they prayed. They prayed fervently. You know, sometimes we pray and it's almost like we're going through the motions. It's like, this is what we do. So we check it off the box, and we kind of did our prayer, went through our prayer list, kind of did our thing. But sometimes if we really evaluate our prayer life, sometimes what we'll come to find out is we're not praying the Bible way. And here's the truth. If you want revival, if you want to see God work mightily in only God ways, at your church here, the key is prayer. You know, I remember when we were at Victory Baptist Church, when all that was going on, it was 2 weeks before we were supposed to be there, and no doors had opened in the schools. And so the pressure's kind of on, right? Because we're planning for this big outreach, but there's no one that we can invite besides, you know, community people, which is still great. But getting into public schools seems to really help get the word out. And I remember, if you know the assistant pastor, Pastor David, there, he was headed to talk to Pastor Barker, the pastor at Victory, and he said, while he was on his way, someone beat him to the pastor. He's waiting, you know, to talk to Pastor. And he's like, well, I'll check my email one more time just to see if somebody emailed me. So sure enough, during the service, a principal at a high school emailed him and said, hey, I guess principals don't get Sundays off either. We'll have them. And so sure enough, that was the first school that scheduled us. And the Monday we got there, the last school scheduled us. And we were in front of about 2,500 students. And they had been doing, their church on Wednesday nights, had been doing just a series on praying the Bible away. And I remember there were a lot of things God did that week that truly the only explanation is God. You know this, illusions don't have power, okay? It's not real, okay? That's why we call it illusions, all right? It's just, there's a secret to it. I'm not going to tell you, but there's a secret to all the tricks we do, all right? But they don't have power, okay? I'm Chase Williams. I'm not special, okay? I don't have some corner on the Holy Spirit that someone else can't have or anything like that. I'm just Chase. I'm just Chase Williams. Why did God work? Because people prayed. Because people prayed. And if you want to see God work in your church, in your life, you got to pray the Bible way. And really, I think just an incredible example of prayer, of really Bible prayer, is found in James chapter 5. Are you there in your Bibles? James chapter 5, look at verse number 16, if you would. God says this in verse 16. If you're there, say amen. Amen. God says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Then there's a period and another sentence. God says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. And then in verse 17 and 18, God gives an example of this type of prayer, okay? And it is absolutely incredible. Look at verse 17 and 18. God says this, Elias, talking about Elijah, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Okay, so God says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he gives this example, and the example is definitely an only God thing. Okay, I think if I was writing this, I probably would have written like, hey, if you're having financial trouble, pray about it and look for a job, okay, try to earn some money. And, you know, I don't know that I would have given such an impossible example. Okay, but the example God gave is that Elijah would pray and the rain would stop for 3.5 years. Okay, that's not coincidence. You know what I'm saying? That's not happenstance. That's not like, well, man, that guy's lucky. Luck is not a thing, okay? Only God did that. And it didn't randomly stop. It stopped when Elijah prayed, okay? And then it didn't randomly start, okay? It started when Elijah prayed. I mean, isn't that incredible? You know, if you look at the story, it's not super obvious in this passage here, but if you look back in the Old Testament, the story of Elijah, when he prayed for the rain to start with this giant word called importunity. You ever heard that word before? Importunity, it basically means asking for the same thing again and again and again and again. Cyrus does that, our one-year-old. It's so awesome sometimes. Okay, but he loves grapes and pretty much any fruit, he loves them. And so he'll be like, Mom, grape, please, grapes, Mom, grape, like a million times. You know, and we heard him the first million, but he'll just keep going and going and going and going. And sometimes for us as humans, sometimes it can be a little annoying. Someone asks you for the same thing over and over and over and over and over. It's like, listen, I heard you. you don't have to ask again. The answer is whatever you said, right? Okay. But with God, it's not annoying. I mean, isn't that incredible? In fact, God encourages us to pray that way, to ask for the same thing again and again and again and again. We don't have time to really go through all the passages that talk about that, but it's true. God is not bothered when we ask for the same thing multiple times, and that's what Elijah did when he asked for the rain to come. If you're not familiar with the story, basically he prayed, and he had a servant. He said, hey, go see if there's any clouds. So the servant went up this little hill thing, and he's like, look, and he's like, I don't see any clouds. Went back, told Elijah, I don't see anything. He prayed again, and the servant went again, and he did that seven times. Finally, on the seventh time, the servant said, hey, I see a cloud the size of maybe a man's hand. And Elijah said, okay, it's about to rain. Let's go get some shelter. And sure enough, God answered that prayer. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. And it says, if you'll pray the Bible way, you in your life can see God answer things where the only explanation is God. You know, God didn't accidentally give us the example of Elijah in this passage. That was on purpose because he wants you to see this type of prayer makes a difference. Like a huge difference. Not a coincidental difference. Not like, you know, sometimes that things happen and it's cool. No, like a real only God difference. And let me just tell you, if anything lasting is going to happen, it's got to be God that does it. This week, if anything lasting is going to happen, it's got to be God. You know, Pastor Polly, let me tell you, he loves the Lord. I really believe he has God, or Brother Polly, Evangelist Polly, he loves the Lord. I really believe he's got God's power. But listen, if anything great's going to happen, it's not going to be because of him. It's going to be because of God. And God answers prayer, but he answers prayer when we pray the Bible way. So this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to look at this verse. Really, there's not any fancy outline, fancy points. We're just going to look at the words in this verse and explain them. Then we're going to ask this question. Does this verse describe your prayer life? And if it doesn't, it can start today. You know, there's a guy named S.D. Gordon. This is what he said, talking about prayer. He said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Think about that. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Ian Bounds said, prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Calvin Allen, he's an evangelist. He said this, a desire to preach without a desire to pray is a desire to perform. Some of us this week, we've got a desire to see God work to some way, so maybe we can post on Facebook about it. But listen, really, if God's going to do anything great, we've got to pray. One person said this, John R. Rice said, all our failures are prayer failures. If we fail in soul winning, in Bible study, in Christian joy, in victory over sin, in usefulness to God, it is because we do not pray. Johnny Pope said, if you're not a praying preacher, you're a playing preacher. You know, are you a person of prayer? I mean, are you really? We're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and I think it's going to be plain whether or not we pray the Bible way. And if we don't, man, can I beg you, would you start today? It'll be worth it. It will. You want to have God's power? You want to see God do only God things? You got to pray this way. Look one more time at verse 16 in that second sentence. God says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, number one, if you're taking notes, this is obvious, but if you want to pray the Bible way, number one, you have to pray. I mean, isn't that obvious? You know, that's where I struggle sometimes, right? You've probably heard a lot of messages on prayer if you've been to church for a while and a lot of different Bible principles on prayer. But you know what happens sometimes? Man, life is busy. I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, how many of you have ever retired? Like, you're not working a formal job or whatever, but man, it seems like it speeds up, according to my grandparents, is what they said. I mean, it's just, life is busy. And sometimes, like, we do important things that really seem to matter, but they keep us from praying. Which means if we don't pray, we can't expect to pray the Bible way when we don't even have a purposeful quality prayer life. I mean, do you pray? I mean, do you really? Someone said this. I don't remember who did, or I'd give them credit, okay? But someone said this. If you were given, I think they asked me this. They said, if you were given $5 to pray for a minute, like every minute you prayed, you were given $5. They said, would you pray more? Would you find time to pray? You know what I said? Yep. And you know what it revealed? My lack of spirituality. My lack of love for God. Because I loved money more than I love God. I wonder, do you pray? It doesn't happen on accident, really. You know what I mean? Happens on purpose. Do you on purpose pray? You want to pray the Bible way? Step one is you got to pray. There's different ways, right? You can go through a prayer list. You can say, hey, God, lead me. Put on my heart what to pray for. And God can lead you. You can pray about everything. Can't you? Isn't that what the Bible says? Pray about everything. You can pray at all times. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, I had a friend. He had just recently trusted Christ. Didn't know a lot about God or the Bible. We were driving on the interstate. And he was driving. And we were talking about something. Then we prayed. And next thing you know, I realized we're changing lanes. And I look over at my friend, and his eyes are closed. And I'm like, hey, you can open your eyes and pray. He didn't know that, okay? That was a scary moment in my life, okay? But you know, aren't you thankful you can pray at any time, all the time? Man, God doesn't have to say, hey, I'm in a meeting. Hang on just one second. God's always available. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? But if we want to pray the Bible way, number one, we've got to pray. Look at the verse real quick, will you? Look at that second sentence, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number one, you got to pray. Number two, you've got to pray effectually, okay? Effectually. What does that mean? It's not a word we use all the time. Really, it gives this idea of praying for something that causes an effect. And it's praying in a way where, like, if God answers, you can tell. You can tell. Sometimes we pray in a way where, like, if God were to answer, it's kind of hard to know. Like, did he answer? Did he not? So it kind of emphasizes this. Emphasizes praying for a specific effect. Can you put that slide up there? Praying really for a specific effect. So praying in a way where if God answers, there's an effect, you can tell. For instance, that victory. I mean, I remember they were praying, God opened doors, God opened doors. And maybe God knew some folks need a little extra motivation to pray. They weren't going to pray if he just opened doors, you know, months and months and months in advance. And so he waited till last minute because he knew, hey, they need some extra motivation to pray, okay? Sometimes God does that. And so they prayed specifically, say, hey, God, would you do this? I remember we were in Georgia. Anybody ever been to Georgia? That's where we're from. And we were in Georgia, and they could seat about 200 where they were planning to do the outreach. And one public school can really make a difference in how many folks hear about the outreach and come and different things. And so if really a door opened in one school, we may not be able to fit everybody in. And so the church was really praying about what to do. And they prayed specifically that God would work in such a way where... they would need to do two shows. They said, hey, I really want to see God do something amazing. And long story short, God opened the door. I'll tell more story or more details about that in a little bit. But really praying effectually is praying where, like, if God answers, you can tell. So this week, wait 2025, what have you been praying about? What specific things have you been praying where, like, man, God, I want to see you do this specifically? You know, sometimes we say, hey, God, would you work this week? Yeah, God will work. But sometimes when we pray that way, it's hard to tell. And sometimes our version of God working isn't always his version. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes God working in our life means something unpleasant happens. Can I say it like that? You know, something we don't like happens. You know, our camper broke. All right. I wasn't a fan of that. Okay, all right, that's our home, right? Our frame broke two places, probably a third. We can't find, like, those things happen, right? And it's not convenient. I say, God, would you please work and help? And God says, okay, and He allows this to happen. And sometimes my vision, so to speak, of like God's will, God working, isn't always mine. So what does that help me do? Well, it helps me have a motivation to say, okay, God, lead me. Help me know how to pray specifically. Help me know how to pray specifically. And when I've done that, I've seen God answer specifically. And let me just encourage you, like, God does answer specific prayer. But you've got to pray that way. You know, with our camper, God has answered specific prayer. We got it welded, and so it's mostly okay. We're using it. It's working. But man, God, I really believe, answers specifically when we pray specifically. Someone said this: you want general answers, then pray generally. You want specific answers, then pray specifically. Does that make sense? So number one, you got to pray. Number two, you got to pray effectually. Number three, you got to pray fervently. If you look at that verse, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean to pray fervently? It's this idea of praying vehemently, hot, serious, burden. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, it's not bad to pray the same thing again and again and again and again. But sometimes we just are kind of saying this memorized prayer and we're not really serious. We're not really burdened. We're just kind of going through the motions. You know, I've got a prayer list, and I know sometimes, like, there can be a whole lot of things on it. And it's like, man, I've only got this much time. I've got so many things to pray for, so I'm just going to go through it as fast as I possibly can. And, like, God knows my thoughts, so I'm just going to think about it, and I'm just going through. But I'm not really fervent. I'm just trying to say I pray through everything on the prayer list. I'm trying to be able to tell someone I pray for you specifically today. And I'm not praying biblically, because I'm not being very fervent, not being very serious. Does that make sense? So does that describe your prayer life? Where you're praying fervently, oh God, please. I mean, can I ask you gently? I mean, are you really burdened about this week? I mean, are you? Do you really want to see God work in your community where the only explanation is God did that? Wasn't a church, wasn't a preacher, wasn't a pastor, wasn't a person. It was God, and everyone saw that. Well, if you want that to happen, you got to pray the Bible way. What's the Bible way? Well, one part of it is praying fervently. God, please, would you do this? God, I'm begging you. You know, everybody's different. You know what I'm talking about? Emotionally, right? How many of you cry a lot? Anybody cry a lot? How many of you never cry? Anybody? My uncle said, see a puppy get hit by a car, he wouldn't cry. You know, it's like, wow, that's next level. Okay. But you know, everybody's different. And the point is not to cry, but the point is to really be burdened. You know, some people, they cry when they're burdened. Some people don't. But we all need to be fervent. We all need to be serious, not just check it off the box. So does that describe your prayer life? These two words, effectual and fervent, you can see it in the English, but if you look at the Greek, it makes it more obvious. These two words are actually one Greek word. And when you translate it in English, you separate them to help us understand it a little bit better. But this is much easier to see in the Greek. These two words, effectual and fervent, when they're used together, they give this idea of praying faithfully. That's number four, praying faithfully. And it may be hard to see on the screen. The full there is a little bit of a different color. And the purpose of that is to emphasize not just praying consistently, but praying full of faith. Praying full of faith. So it's not just believing God can do something, but choosing to believe God will. You know, I ordered some packages this week. Anybody ever order things, Amazon, you know, order whatever? And I'm pretty confident they're going to come. I mean, I have very little doubt. In fact, I'd be surprised if they don't come. And sometimes we can have more faith in Amazon, UPS, whatever we order, than we do in God. I mean, we order something, like, we're pretty much 100% sure it's going to come. If it doesn't, we'll be surprised. And if it doesn't, they normally give us a notification saying, hey, your package is arriving late. It will be there tomorrow, or it'll be there at this time. It's pretty rare for the package not to actually get delivered. You know what happens sometimes? Sometimes in our prayer life, we pray for things and we're like, you know, I don't really think it'll happen, but I'll pray about it. You know what we're revealing? That we're not praying faithfully in the aspect of full of faith. We may be praying faithfully in the aspect of consistent, but not full of faith. It is this. Can you put up that next slide? These two words together, they assume God will answer what you prayed. So in turn, you prepare in faith for the answer. That church in Georgia, they were praying for God to open doors. No doors had opened. They were praying for people to get saved, and we didn't really know if we'd have visitors. But just in faith, on the Saturday before, they scheduled like this two-hour training on how to lead people to the Lord, how we'll do invitation if there's a lot of people that respond. And then they had an additional session if you couldn't come Saturday to come on Sunday. And Monday came around, we were still in no schools. And I was a little nervous, right? We went and visited schools, no schools scheduled. Tuesday, we went and followed up with some schools. And finally, I think two public schools scheduled and one Christian school. And we were in front of about 1,300 students. And Wednesday night was the first outreach. And basically, the perfect amount of people came. Thursday night was the second outreach, and it was raining. You guys know the term raining cats and dogs. You know, like it was pouring. And I was like, that's a bummer. This probably is going to affect people coming. And so we're like, we'll see what happens. And so many people came, we ran out of parking spots. And so people parked in front of the cars that parked in front of the spots. And then people parked in front of the cars that parked in front of the cars that parked in the spots. And we ran out of space. People were in the kitchen to watch, you know, the illusions for the outreach. It's normally not the place you put people. Like, we just ran out of space. We had to do a third show to fit everybody in, a third outreach. And why did that happen? I can guarantee it's not because Chase Williams. It's because that church prayed. They prayed fervently. I remember another place. We were in a different part of Georgia. Similar thing. Man, they worked hard. They worked hard. No doors open in schools. So just in faith, they acted in faith. They prayed in faith, acted in faith. And we did an outreach Tuesday. I thought that was way too early to do an outreach. He's going to come on a Tuesday. We did Tuesday and Wednesday, and 130 visitors came Tuesday. They could only seat like 140. So, like, that was tight. And then 250 visitors came, plus about 50 church people came the next night. And so the church people didn't watch anything. They went in this fellowship hall place, and we crammed in 250 people into a 130, 40-ish auditorium and turned the air condition high, okay? And, like, God really worked. Folks got saved. And why did that happen? It wasn't because Chase Williams. It's because people prayed in faith. I mean, only God could do that. That's not coincidence. Only God could do that. Why did God do that? Because people prayed in faith. Can I ask you, do you? Do you want to see God do that at your church? Do you want to see God do that in your family? I mean, some of us, we've got people in our family, they're not saved. And man, they've like turned their back. They don't want to hear it. Man, God's bigger than that. We don't serve a puny God. God can stop the rain for 3.5 years when Elijah prays and then start the rain when Elijah prays. If God can do that, he can help in your situation. Finances are nothing to God. I mean, it's nothing. You know what? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's hard to say or easy to say, but sometimes hard to live out in your life. But sometimes you just got to choose it. You know, sometimes we think this faith thing is like this feeling. We're like, you know what? I just really feel like God's going to do this. And sometimes that happens. God just gives us peace. It's like, you know what? I don't really know, but for some reason, I just feel like God's going to answer this. Sometimes God gives that, but sometimes he doesn't. And you just got to choose to trust God. Can I tell you, God is much more reliable than Amazon. He's much more reliable than UPS. So instead of after God does something being like, wow, I can't believe God did that. That's crazy. And then I'm so surprised. I wasn't expecting God. Instead, we should be almost surprised if God doesn't answer the prayer. Does that make sense? Like, God's always faithful. You know, God's never failed. He's never come close to it. He's never said, oops, He's never allowed something to happen on accident. He's in control. And he said, you want to see me do only God things? You got to pray the Bible way. What's part of that is praying in faith. Is that how you pray? Sometimes we're like, man, if I pray in faith and it doesn't happen, it's awkward. Like, what if it doesn't happen? So I'm not going to pray in faith. Oh, I have a friend. He said this, a prayer that's not prayed in faith is prayed in sin. He said, a prayer that's not prayed in faith is prayed in sin. I wonder, do you pray in faith? You're not asking, you know, some really rich person to help you. You're not asking some, you know, really strong world leader to help you. You're asking God. And since he's your partner, you can pray in faith, believing. You can. Do you want to pray the Bible way? You got to pray. Then you got to pray effectually. What's that? Praying for a specific effect. Then fervently. What's that? Serious. Not just going through the motions. Really burning. God, please, would you do this? Those two words together, well, they assume faith. They're praying faithfully. They believe God is going to answer, so they act like it. Let me just tell you, the church we were at last week, okay, normally 200 people, you don't have 85 people get out of their seat to respond. Normally it's not that many people, but they prepared in faith. And the biggest difference maker we've ever seen in the outreach, the biggest difference maker we've ever seen in anything in our ministry was when people prayed in faith. Is that how you pray? Man, we don't serve a puny God. We serve a huge God. And he's perfect at doing huge things. He's not gotten tired. He's not been like, well, people don't respond like they used to, so I'm just going to quit working. That's baloney. Sorry, George is coming out. Okay, that's just, like, we serve a huge God. So pray in faith. Pray in faith. All right, look at the verse real quick, will you? Second sentence there, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a, what's the word? Righteous man availeth much. Number five is this. You got to pray righteously. You got to pray righteously. What is that? Three ideas. Here's the first one. It's praying right with God. Pure. You know, that verse, Psalm 66, 18, says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Some of us, the reason why God has not answered our prayer is because there's sin in our life. You know, if there's sin in your life, God's not obligated to answer your prayer. So are you right with God? Let me just tell you, God wants you to be right with him. He wants you to. So if you'll say, God, show me, 100% he will. He will. And then if you'll ask him to forgive you, he will do that. It takes humility. It takes drawing nigh to God. But if you want God to do only God things, you got to be righteous. Proverbs said it like this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So if you're here, there's sin in your heart, and you know about it, and you say, I'm not getting that right. Can I say this gently? Your prayer is abomination. Wow. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Are you right with God? If not, you can be. I'm telling you, it's the best way to live. So live that way. Be all in. Be all in. Praying righteously. The first thought is praying right with God. Here's the second thought. Praying for right things, for God's will. You know, 1 John 5 talks about this. There's other passages that talk about praying according to God's will, okay? Don't take from this message, man, I pray in faith for a Lamborghini and just, you know, assume God's going to do it and we're going to get the, like, that's not what it's talking about. You got to pray righteously. That's for right things, for God's will. And let me just tell you, it's God's will, I believe, for Christians to be right with him. Don't you agree with that? It's God's will. It's God's will for them to freely choose to be all in. But let me just tell you, God will convict if you pray. God will work if you pray. It'll make a difference. It really will. But you've got to pray according to God's will. How do you know God's will? It's pretty simple. You just look at God's word. God's word will help you know his will. So praying right righteously. What is that? Praying righteously is praying right with God, praying for right things. Here's the last thought under righteously. Praying, trusting God's way is the right way. You know, sometimes we have this vision of what God's will is for this meeting. All right, if God's will happens, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. But God sees what we don't, doesn't he? And he knows what's best. And sometimes we think, oh man, this is definitely God's will, when really it is not. Sometimes we think this is definitely God's timing, when really it is not. So we've got to pray trusting God's way is the right way. I had a friend, and their church was looking for a piece of property because they just didn't have the space. And he found this piece of property. It was like perfect near the interstate, and they could build. It's like 15 acres, I think. But the owner was an agnostic and did not want a church to buy it. So they put like huge bids on there, and he said no every time. And the pastor was driving with a business guy, and they drove by that property. And the business guy was like, man, you missed out. Like, this is great. This would have been perfect. And that really encouraged the pastor. You know, I'm saying, no, not really. But man, he was like, I thought we would get this. And they've been praying about it at special prayer meetings. They couldn't get that property. Fast forward some time, they got another property. And just the week he was telling the story, he did a wedding. And in the background of the wedding, there were elk, like, walking around. This is in Colorado. And walking around in the background is, like, super pretty. And the property that they were trying to get, that person wouldn't sell to him, the government took. And they built an interstate through. So they only would have had about 2 acres. And sometimes we have this vision in our mind of, oh, this is God's will, when actually it's not. So we've got to pray trusting God's way is the right way. Does that make sense? That means this, the answer to our prayers cannot be exactly what gives us satisfaction. Our satisfaction has to just come from obeying God. I prayed the Bible way, so I'm trusting God with the results. I'm going to, in faith, act like he's going to answer. Instead of being surprised, if God does answer, I'm going to be surprised if he doesn't answer in this happening. So I'm going to prepare in faith. But you know what? If people don't get saved, if it just doesn't go the way I'm hoping or I think it should, you know what? I'm trusting God's way is the right way. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And if you pray that way, number one, you pray. Number two, effectually. Number three, fervently. Number four, faithfully. Number five, righteously. The result is that type of prayer availeth much. What in the world does that mean? This is what it means, okay? You can put up those definitions. It means to be strong, to have power. Look at the third definition. To have power as shown by extraordinary deeds. What is that? Something only God could do. There's no other explanation. Do you want to see God do that this week? Well, you will if you'll pray the Bible way. No doubt, 100%, you will if you pray the Bible way. Look at that fourth definition, to have strength to overcome. Maybe there's some folks in here and you've been struggling with a sin, seems like your whole life. And you wonder, will I ever have victory? Can I ever just be consistent in doing right in this area? You can. But you got to pray the Bible way. You can. Maybe you got a child and, man, they're struggling with substance abuse or some sin. You're like, man, are they ever going to have victory? This type of prayer is key. You want to see God work in their life? You got to pray the Bible way. The last definition is to be able. Isn't that amazing? To be able, it can. You got an impossible need? This type of prayer is able. It's just what the Bible says. So you got an option. Do you agree with God? Or do you agree with the feeling you have? Or just, you know, what logically makes sense on paper or no, you got to trust God. God's bigger than all that. He stopped the sun for Joshua. He created the world. His son died on the cross and then came back to life. If God can do those things, he can help you. He can help me. He can work in a huge way this week. Do you want that to happen? You got to pray. So this is what we looked at. We looked at this truth of you can pray the Bible way. Are you? I mean, are you? Man, we can hear these things, get excited, hear some cool stories. That's not what it's about. It's about obeying God and praying the Bible way. So is that where you're at? Is it? If it's not, listen, it's where you can be. Doesn't matter your age or stage in life. You can. Peggy and Christine in their 80s, one was blind, full body arthritis. They prayed, God sent revival to their islands. There are books written about how God worked there. Let me just tell you, God didn't break a sweat when that happened. God didn't even have to get out of his seat in order for revival to work like that. Listen, God can so easily work in huge ways this week. You want to see that happen? You got to pray. You've got to. And you can. You really can. The emphasis is not necessarily pray for hours and hours and hours. The Bible does say praying always. So we should always be in this mindset of prayer, okay? And there's a lot of things in that. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I understand everything in praying always. I feel like there's a lot you could dive into with that. But the reality is this. The emphasis in this scripture specifically is praying the Bible way. So if you'll pray biblically, the way God wants you to pray, then you'll see biblical answers. The way God wants to answer. I mean, isn't that incredible? You don't have to be like, well, we'll find out. No, you can have confidence. It can happen. But it's not automatic. You got to pray. Does that make sense? So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be all in and pray? It's really key. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. Will you pray, Father, I love you. God, I greatly, greatly need you. I ask in Jesus' name, you would literally do everything in your power to give us a stronger desire than we've ever had in our life to pray the Bible way. God, we can do this. This is not something that's out of reach for any person in here. Any person, kids, teenagers, adults, we could all pray this way. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, would you do everything in your power to give us just a stronger desire to pray this way than we've ever had, and then help us actually do it. God, talk us cheap. Talk us cheap. We need to live it. God, help us to live it. Father, it's easy to talk the talk. Help us to walk the walk. God, help me to do that. Father, I need your power. I need your power. I need your help. I need your anointing. God, it's not an option. I've got to have it. And Father, this week we need you to work. God, you must. And Father, I believe you want to. I think it just makes sense. So Father, I pray in Jesus' name, this week you would work in ways where we would just be in awe. Father, work in such a way where we cannot give man credit. Father, would there be hundreds get saved this week? You can do that easily. It's not even hard for you. God, would you help every single person that comes to Awake get right with you? God, convict them. God, work so powerfully. Oh, God, please. And God, for the folks in here, Lord, if any of them are not right with you, oh, God, convict them. Help them to be all in. And God, I pray that there would not be any leaven, any sin that removes your blessing. It was Achan, one person, Achan, that removed the blessing from Israel. God, I pray there would not be one person here that keeps you from blessing the way you want to. Oh, God, please, in Jesus' name, work it a way where it would just be absolutely incredible. Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, who'd say this? Chase, if I'm honest with you, I need to step it up in my prayer life. I haven't been praying the Bible way like I should. That's you. Would you slip your hand up? It's a number of hands. And right now, will you just commit to God? Right now, will you just pray and tell God, say, God, I'm all in. Would you do that? Right now, just ignore me and say, hey, God, I'm all in. God, help me to pray the Bible way. Help me to pray in faith. Help me to do that. We don't serve a weak God. We don't serve a poor God. God is still all powerful, still in control, still wants to work here. So let's believe him. Let's act like he's going to. If you're here and you say, hey, Chase, don't embarrass me, but Chase, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm on my way to heaven. Chase, I don't know if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. If that's you, Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I sure would love to do that. Is there anybody like that? Chase, don't embarrass me. Would you pray for me? I don't know. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't see any hands, but if that's you, I want you to know you're invited to talk to me or pastor at any time. We'd love to help you know that. In just a moment, we'll stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed, and the piano will play. And when we stand up, if you say, hey, I'm all in, I want to pray the Bible way, I want to invite you right up here. This is really, it's just a piece of carpet, little step here, but it's a place you can pray. We call it an altar. An altar is a place where you talk to God and make commitments to God. And I know you may not be physically able to come up here to the front. That's fine. Just make your chair the altar. And let me encourage you, obey God. Will you do that? Will you obey God? Maybe God convicted you about a sin. You can't pray righteously because you're struggling with a sin. To just say, God, I'm sorry. If you need help, get help. Humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. That's a promise. But you got to humble first. If you're struggling with a sin, ask God to forgive you. Say, okay, God, I'm all in. Let's stand up with our heads bowed, eyes closed. You're invited. If you need to pray, come up to the front. Brother Ryan's going to come up in just a moment and lead an invitational hymn. Pastor, I want you to know you can close the invitation how you see fit. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, right now, will you just obey God? You come up here to the front and pray. You can pray at your seat. Would you just obey God? Would you be all in? You're not going to regret it. You won't stand before God one day and say, man, I wish I did more of this. You'll say, hey, I wish I did more for you, God. I love you. He deserves it. He's worthy, isn't he? So would you be all in?